Good morning, everyone. Please take a seat. As we're continuing from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church. Letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. I'll read from verse 15 and up to verse 21. And we'll be looking at thankfulness today. You may be saying, when is he going to get to the wives and husbands? And we're taking our time. It's okay. Next year, Lord willing. Ephesians 5, I'll read from 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Father, thankfulness is a gift. Being unthankful is a curse. May our hearts be thankful hearts. May we be giving thanks as your people, for we have been given much. You gave up your Son to save us. What else do we need? Lord, be glorified among us in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If he had another $10, just $10, the little child who wants to buy a small toy to play with, or maybe some lollies to enjoy, or something else, he will be so happy and so grateful. If I only had $100, I would be so satisfied, so happy, and so thankful. Thinks now the 10-year-old who wants to buy this more extravagant game, this bike, or whatever else. If I had an extra $10,000, the 20-year-old says, I would be incredibly grateful. Don't want anything else. I would feel so content and so fulfilled that I could buy the car I desire. If I only had, not $100, let's make it $300,000, says now the 30-year-old. I wouldn't need anything else. Just having a deposit for a house would be enough. It would give me a place to call home, a space to care for my family. Oh, my heart would overflow with gratefulness and thankfulness. If I only had $1 million, says the 50-year-old, I would be so grateful. That's all I need. Finally, nothing more. I would pay off the mortgage in full, make some renovations to my house, cover all education expenses for the children, clear all my debts, maybe buy a new car, and hopefully just fit in that overseas family holiday. Finally, I will be content, grateful, satisfied. My heart will sing with joy and gratitude. If I could rewind time, says the 80-year-old, with regrets, I would simply express gratitude to God for all things throughout life. There is an old legend that says this. Two angels were sent by God to earth to gather the prayers of all the saints. Now, these two angels had two different, slightly different tasks. The first angel was to collect all the prayers that were just simply asking for things from God. The second angel was to gather all the prayers of just gratitude to God. The legend says that the first angel couldn't carry the load back in one go because it was so heavy, while the second angel carried the prayers of thanksgiving, just thanksgiving, on one hand. Of course, it's just a legend, right? But the point still stands. The people of God must be thankful. Look at verses 19 and 21, especially verse 20, but 19 to 21. What are the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Nothing too spectacular, no firecrackers, ecstatic things, out-of-body experiences. Five verbs: addressing, singing, making melody, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, but there are another two. Another two: giving thanks and submitting. And today we'll only address giving thanks, thankfulness. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he called me while he was experiencing a slight problem. Not from here, lest you start wondering. It was a minor repair issue and really a short-term problem of just a few days. It would be resolved in a matter of just a couple of days. But he was so very disappointed and said that he couldn't take it anymore. Seriously, he said that he was at the point of giving up and dying. He was so discontent. He was so despairing. He was so disappointed. The issue, of course, was fixed, was resolved a few days later, and then his whole attitude changed. He became very happy and very thankful. Now, whether this illustration is actual or not, it doesn't really matter. But dare I suggest that at some point we've all behaved in the same way. One result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is giving thanks, always and for everything, to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that there is another type of giving thanks, of thankfulness. In the Gospel of Luke, as we heard last week, We read of a religious man who stood in the great temple of Jerusalem and prayed thus to God. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He gave thanks to God. But this type of thankfulness is fake. It is a show-off, lip service, hypocritical thankfulness. It is a type of thankfulness, note, that has self at its core. But we are not talking about this type of thankfulness. That's fake. You and I can never change our own hearts. We can do things superficially. We can fool other people. We can fool ourselves. Human resolve, human will, human power, human techniques or discipline, it can superficially change things, but it cannot change our hearts. It can't. Only God can change our hearts. You and I can never make our own hearts truly thankful. Transformation from the inside out comes from God's Holy Spirit. One result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is giving thanks. Always and for everything to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has already told us that our heart's transformation is the result of God's predestining love for us in Christ Jesus by the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, thankfulness to God, what is it? What is true thankfulness? What is thanksgiving? It is a recognition that God is good, that God is a good sovereign God, that He is our Father, He is our Father, that He cares for us, that He loves us, that He controls all things and He works them for our good. We don't understand how, but God does for those who belong to Him. But have you ever asked yourself, what is the opposite of giving thanks? What is it? What is it? A few words. Does discontentment. Anything else? Ungratefulness. Grumbling. Yes. Being discontent. Being ungrateful. All these things that we mention, and then complaining and moaning and groaning and grumbling. Just think what happens when we are dissatisfied. When we complain, when we murmur, when we gossip, when we do all these things, we turn on one another. That's what happens. We turn on one another. Well, we blame God as well, but we also turn on one another. We become feral creatures clawing at each other's hearts, driven by sin, and our biting words rip each other's flesh. And that the chaos we create can be so severe that it threatens to tear our very family apart. This is certainly not from God's Holy Spirit. Is it? It's from an unholy spirit, not from God's Holy Spirit. One result of being filled with the Spirit, verse 20, is giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit then guides us towards a life of deep gratitude. Because having a Christ-satisfied life leads to gratitude. It leads to thankfulness. Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his steadfast love endures forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the will of God for us, to be thankful people, because thankfulness flows from a Christ-satisfied life. So being filled with the Holy Spirit results in an expression of appreciation and gratitude towards God. Why? Because when we realize this grand generosity of God in pouring his steadfast love upon us, his covenantal love for us, upon us, then we express giving thanks, we express gratitude, first and foremost to God, and then it flows out from vertically to horizontally. Because having an ungrateful heart towards God will lead inevitably in ingratitude towards both God and others. Is there anything more painful than when you've done everything you can for someone, then they turn away with ingratitude, even complaining or turning against you? Now imagine, now there are a lot of children in this congregation, and we praise the Lord, absolutely, we praise the Lord. But for the fathers and the mothers, imagine pouring your heart and soul into nurturing your child, doing all the things day in, day out, and then day in and day out, and then the same thing again and again. To be met at the end with a wave of ingratitude in return, how would that make you feel? Would it be right? Shakespeare described it well. He said, ingratitude, thou marble-hearted friend. In other words, a cold-hearted friend. Ingratitude has a cold heart. How can we, the people of God, not give thanks to our God after all that God has done for us, saving us from the fires of eternal damnation, bringing us to himself through his Son. He gave up his Son who became sin for us on the cross. God has given us all things in Christ Jesus. Thankfulness flows from knowing God. Thankfulness then outflows from a heart that has tasted that God is good, that has tasted God's grace. And thankfulness is an overflow of a heart that is satisfied in God. So then I ask, is our church known for thanksgiving? Are we known for kindness, for gratefulness? Do we sing praises to our God with thankful hearts? Do our conversations come from a grateful heart, from content hearts? Render thanks for all things, says the holy text here. For all things. Is Paul unrealistic? Does he live in fantasy land for all things, in everything, in all circumstances? But life has so many ups and downs. Well, we can understand giving thanks when things are going well. We get that. But what about when pain touches our lives? When we experience distress, lose our job, When accidents happen, when you encounter family trouble, when in poverty, when there is a cancer diagnosis, when there is a loss of a loved one, what do you do then? How do you handle things like that? How do we understand this text? Well, I want to give us three things to consider that would help us navigate such dilemmas. First, think about this. These words about giving thanks here come from the mouth of a man who had experienced imprisonments, countless beatings with rods, lashes, stoning, shipwrecks 3 times, dangers everywhere from within and from outside, toils, hardships, sleeplessness, hunger and thirst, exposure to cold, let alone accusations, slander, and many, many other troubles from foes and friends alike. 2 Corinthians 11. So when the Apostle Paul was writing about thanksgiving, he was feeling it. Not only he was feeling it, he was writing it while imprisoned. He was in chains, yet he still wrote what he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Consideration number two. If we don't set aside all trivial matters that bother us in day-to-day life, then we're setting ourselves for real pain and hardship. What do I mean? If we are bothered, if we get upset, annoyed, or angry with petty things, what will we do when real problems come our way? Your fridge stops working. Your food is delivered to your door a bit late, and it's not as hot. It's not warm. You lose something. Someone cuts you off on the road. Put it off. We must reject and repent of all murmuring and complaining. And by God's grace, do not indulge in self-centered preferences that we usually raise them to a level that I must have it or else. Put it off. Lay it aside. Third consideration. Do not misinterpret what Paul says here about giving thanks for all things. The word everything in the text is regulated with a last phrase in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we don't give thanks to God for evil things, not for evil itself, because God hates evil. We know that from the scriptures. And not only God hates evil, God tells his people to hate evil. It says, hate evil, or you who love the Lord. Psalm 97:10, the first part. God does not say that you should give thanks for a drunk driver killing a child. God doesn't tell us to give thanks when a horrible monster rapes, when a murderer assassinates, when a gossiper slanders. We don't give thanks for those things in themselves. We don't give thanks for cancer itself as a disease, or for the sinful actions of an employer who unjustly fires an employee, and so on, all these things. We can always give thanks to God, but not for evil itself. But we can give thanks to God that He's God, that even in the midst of tragedy and pain, He can bring light out of darkness. God does not operate on the same plane as we do, creatures. God's ways are transcendent, beyond ordinary limits and comprehension, and infinitely higher than ours. And He can do things that we can't even imagine. The late theologian Arthur Sproul said this. It's a helpful quote, so let me say it. We may thank God for a multitude of things in the midst of tragedy, but these must be consistent with His character and redeeming purposes. Exhaust those things in prayer and do not be tempted to offer indiscriminate praise to the offense of God. Let me say this again. We may thank God for a multitude of things in the midst of tragedy, but these must be consistent with His character and redeeming purposes. Exhaust those things in prayer and do not be tempted to offer indiscriminate praise to the offense of God. So let's be regulated with these three considerations in what it means to give thanks. For everything. The conviction of a man who has endured struggles most of us cannot imagine. A man who was writing these things while feeling the weight of chains. He could write such things with conviction and an absolute certainty that God is a good, sovereign God. Even when we don't understand it, even when we don't feel it, actually when we feel horrible and bad and we don't know what to do and we don't know what to say and we don't know what to pray for, we can just pray and thank God and just leave it to Him. The goodness of God is seen supremely in giving up His Son for us all, church. God chose us in Christ. In love, He predestined us to Himself. God didn't just predestine us. He predestined us to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. He redeemed us through Jesus' blood. He gave us an inheritance that is undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for us. It doesn't lose any value. It cannot be destroyed. God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our redemption. We will never be a thankful people unless we see and we trust that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Even then, in tears and troubled, we can find satisfaction in God and give Him thanks. Even when we feel horrible, we can trust God. Even when we are troubled, we can trust God. We can give Him thanks. Even when we are perplexed, even when we are downcast, even in difficulty, we can know and taste that God is good. And say, or give thanks to the Lord for His good, for His steadfast love, that's His covenantal love, endures forever. Our feelings don't endure forever. We don't endure forever. But God's steadfast love for His people endures forever. That's why we can sing, "My heart is filled with thankfulness for Him, to Him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life and gain, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in His light and wrote His law of righteousness with power upon my heart. And when all Thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, why, my cold heart, art Thou not lost in wonder, love, and praise?" When we know and when we consider and trust the goodness of God, then we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can have a cause for joy, for satisfaction, for thanksgiving. Now, we are all sinners, all of us. And all of us can find a trillion reasons to complain, to grumble, to be discontent, to gossip against one another, to turn against one another. It is in our very sinful nature to do all these things, to moan, to complain, to criticize each other. It's just an outlet. I'm just going to criticize someone. You can do 1,000 good things for someone. If that person is discontented, and then you do 1,000 good things, and if you fail to do one, just one, you know what happens? They'll let you have it. This is how a discontented and ungrateful, proud heart reacts, by sinning. You can do 1,000 good things and fail to do one. On the other hand, thankfulness brings joy. Thankfulness brings joy. Look at the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Paul from his prison cell in Rome. Look at him while awaiting trial and execution for the crime of proclaiming the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. What does he do? How does he behave? What does it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's look at the life of Apostle Paul. He says to the Philippian church, writing a letter from imprisonment again, he said, I thank God, my God, in all my remembrance of you. He was thanking God for them. He was writing to strengthen them, to care for them. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now mark this. Remember it for 30 seconds or so. But is this encouraging or what? Now, on a previous occasion, Paul wrote a letter to a very troubled church, to a very messy church in Corinth. And this is what he said to them. He could have said a lot of things to them. Indeed, it was troubled and messy. If you have read the letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, you know what was going on in the church. And this is what he said to them, you useless sinners. You're no good for nothing. Why are you causing so much trouble in the church of God? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. Let's try again. Let me quote from 1 Corinthians, what he said to them. This is what he said. I give thanks to my God always for you. Because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is not Paul flattering. He told them some hard things, but he was still thankful to God. True thankfulness then for each other is not flattery, because true thankfulness acknowledges God as the fountain of all goodness and as the terminus of all goodness. What do we do? how do we react when we don't get our way? When our preferences are not satisfied, what do we do? When our wants are not met, what do we do? Cause trouble and leave? Pride causes ungratefulness. When our pride convinces us that we deserve more than what we ought to, then we will show ingratitude. If we consider what we have graciously received by God as insufficient, we will be unthankful towards God. We will fail to give thanks to God. And an unthankful spirit will be a complaining spirit. And a complaining spirit, listen to this, it may sound heavy. I concur with a commentator that said this. It's heavy. Let me start again. Let's get a bit of a runway. An unthankful spirit will be a complaining spirit. And a complaining spirit will be an antichrist spirit. It'll be an antichrist spirit. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will always point us to Christ. And He'll show us the beauty, the goodness of Christ. But a complaining spirit will steer us away from looking unto Christ, the goodness of Christ, the beauty of Christ. It will steer us away. Hence, a complaining spirit is an antichrist spirit. How can we offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Through Jesus, says the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. If we, the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, do you know what the church is? It's serious when we're talking about the church. The church is God's people, God's kingdom. The place where God's kingly power and sovereignty are displayed for all to see and praise God. This is in the New Testament. The church is this place, is this space where God's kingly power and sovereign goodness are displayed for all to see and praise God. If we do not offer thanksgiving to God, then what are we doing? Acting like the devil? We must humble ourselves. I must humble myself and confess my sin, and you confess your sin to the Lord in repentance and look unto the beauty of Jesus and be satisfied in Jesus and thank Him for who He is and what He has done, His power, His reign. He loved us and freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom priest to His God and Father. Revelation 1. We have a trillion of reasons to thank God for. Can you think of some things to thank God for? Can you think of some things? You can thank God for the gift of life and breathing. You can thank God for the gift of beauty. You can thank God for the gift of family. You can thank God for the gift of friends. You can thank God for the church. You can thank God for the fellowship with your brothers and sisters. You can thank God for the Holy Spirit. He can thank God for the promise of everlasting, glorious life with Him. And there is much more. What are we going to do now then? Let us not be the sort of people who even we look at the horizon and we see a small cloud, just a little cloud. And we just get fixated on the little cloud and we fail to see the blue skies all around us and above us. And we act as if the entire sky is gray because of that little cloud. Lay hold of Christ. Look at Christ. Behold Christ. Let us see His brilliant beauty and enjoy Him and praise Him and thank Him, and our hearts will be filled with thankfulness. And as we are about to examine ourselves now in light of God's Word, and as we approach the supper of the Lord called the Eucharist, the Eucharist meaning thanksgiving, the supper of thanksgiving, that's what it is. Let's pray together. And in the line of thankfulness, and all the people of God that have gone before us, let's thank God. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You for the supper of Your Son, the Lord's Supper, a means of grace You have given us. We don't deserve it, but Your Son has given it to us. You have prepared a feast before us, and who are we, Lord, that we've been invited as guests into Your presence? We will wholly rest on the merit of Jesus Christ. Clothed with His righteousness, we appear before You. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we come now to partake of the elements of the bread and the cup as Your adopted children. Clothed with the righteousness of Christ, we come repentantly and we come with faith in Jesus. Not trusting upon ourselves, but looking unto Christ and confessing our sins to You. And we pray that You will enliven our faith to see the glories of Jesus Christ. Oh, we fail so many times, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. And while we see the emblems of the bread and the cup before our very eyes, may we ponder why He died. And hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, I gave up my life so that you can have life. He gave up His life as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God to take away our sins. May we hear Him say, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And hear Him say, this cup is the new covenant. In my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus Christ, beloved Son of Your Father, You bore our condemnation to satisfy the right and divine justice on our behalf. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened to see the vast love of Jesus. May we see the breadth and length of the redemptive design. And may we draw near repentantly and in faith to eat and drink. And testify, Lord, of a gospel unity, this gospel unity, before all men, in faith, in Jesus Christ the Lord, who will come back to judge the living and the dead, and whose kingdom shall have no end. And now, Lord, may we receive strength and nourishment and joy and delight, and may our hearts overflow with thankfulness until the day when we see face to face, and faith will be sight, and when we'll sit with Jesus at his heavenly feast. Amen.